The Coen brothers are funny.
Yes, and it is.
Okay.
It is a great movie.
I mean, again, I think people like to hate on Nicolas Cage just because the internet tells them to. I mean, are some of his roles weird? Yes. Are movies like Ghost Rider and others just weird? Yes. But like National Treasure,
it's a great movie.
That is a fantastic movie with a fantastic cast. And honestly, twists you don't see coming. Now, National Treasure 2, they shouldn't have done it, but that's the Disney way.
What's the one with where he was on a flight with all the prisoners?
Oh, and the rest of them.
Con Air.
That was not Nicolas Cage, was it?
Yes.
I thought that was the other guy.
Are these appropriate?
The guy
movies?
With the hair. I mean, dark I would. Hair. Tom
are you
Cruise.
Recording?
Yes.
Wasn't it Tom
don't
Cruise?
Record.
You should not record these weird little tangents that we take.
I just think it's good for the people to get to hear what actually happens.
No, I don't think it's helpful.
I do stand by Raising Arizona, though.
You do?
Is that an old time movie, like in the 60s or
whoa,
something?
Whoa. Golly.
Was it black and white?
Kelly, no.
Was it a Western?
I don't know
they,
why.
Like a
I,
no
I don't
birds
know why
film?
I'm still friends with somebody.
What is it called? A talkie?
What?
A talkie?
Like a silent movie?
Like The Chips?
What? What just happened?
Like in the 1920s.
In my day.
I mean, that's essentially how you sound, Shane.
Yeah, that's about right.
Oh, man.
How are you guys doing?
Welcome
into the Everyday Parent Podcast,
please
everyone.
Please do not start it this way.
I feel deceived.
You feel deceived?
You can't just
start
record.
It that way.
Kelly, you literally watched me start the timer.
I didn't. Now I'm noticing it. I really didn't.
Yeah, as I picked up the remote, you said, okay. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Kelly sees that I'm starting the timer.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention, honestly.
Oh, that's okay.
None of the views shared on this podcast are related to Long Hollow.
Represent Long Hollow.
Represent Long Hollow. Is that better?
Is that better?
No, just because we have a disclaimer doesn't mean. All right, let's go.
Anyways, just so everyone listening knows, Kelly wanted me to announce that Linda and I were pregnant just
yes,
for the sake of the
congratulations.
Podcast.
Woo!
I told you Linda would
no,
be on the podcast.
I wanted it to be a real announcement.
Oh, well,
I don't want you to lie.
So you guys are not with child?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we're still.
That's a letdown.
Oh, it's okay. It'll come at some point whenever the Lord, you know, whenever the Lord appoints the time, you know. But how are you guys doing today?
What is up, everybody? Did you forget that?
Why did you ask another question when I asked a question?
Well, no, I thought you forgot.
I think that's called avoidance.
I thought you forgot our intro.
I don't think he's doing that well.
I welcomed everyone in after you got done talking about your
talking.
I'm
doing great. I'm doing great.
I'm still waiting for you to restart because I don't think this should count.
We'll see.
So I'm just going to be on,
what is up, everybody?
Shane, are you guys, still in sport mode or is everyone done with school ball?
We are in the calm before the storm. So we finished up basketball, for all three of my kids. And so we'll start AAU and spring football and all that good stuff.
Nice.
Here pretty soon. We've had a couple, family dinners around the table at home, and so that's been nice.
Yeah.
And so not on the road and not on the go, so it's been nice for here a few days. Hopefully we'll get a little more time before things pick back up.
Gotcha. Kelly, are y'all in busy season or chill season right now?
Our season has been kind of insane lately, mostly just due to Mark and I's work schedules. But hopefully things will be slowing down slightly, at least for him.
Right. And then summer picks up and you're gone half the summer.
Oh, yeah. Summer is like a wild ride.
Are you getting to go to Europe this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
You shouldn't reveal when I'm not going to be in the country. That could put my children in danger.
Mark's there.
No, but I usually don't like blast that stuff.
Well, we don't have to tell dates.
Yeah, there's like 4 months that could count.
We don't have to tell dates.
Kelly will be gone in September. Don't worry.
What? No, yeah. I have a really cool opportunity to lead a student leadership university trip, so...
Shane, we don't
exciting.
Talk about that enough. What is SLU? Just real quick, and then we'll actually get into the point of the podcast.
I really could spend the whole podcast talking about this. Student Leadership University, we call it SLU, is a four-year program. 101 is in Orlando. 201 is in Washington, D.C. 301 is London, Paris, and Normandy, and Oxford. And then 401 has been Israel, but with everything going on, they've kind of made a little adjustment.
What's going on?
I think they're doing... Paul's Journeys.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
That's really
so,
cool.
But it is, in my mind, one of the best leadership programs around. And then add on to it, it's a Christian leadership program.
Right.
So we've been taking students here at Long Hollow since a little bit before I was here.
Yeah.
But I've been taking students for over 20-some years.
What would you say to the parents that would be like me when my kid gets older and it's like, hey, that's a hefty, like it's, I mean, you got to pay for a lot of it and you got to pay for travel. It's, you know, it is
expensive. It is worth it. B, for what you get, for what you're getting, you're definitely not paying for that, which I love. But one of the things I do, and I challenge our students, all of our students, and even my kids, is for them to pay for their own trips.
Mm. So you, like, encourage them to fundraise?
Well, no, not fundraise. I mean, the babysitting jobs, reffing, mowing lawns, anything they can do to raise money. And we've had a number of kids whose parents could have just paid for it, who paid for their own trips. And I'm telling you, they appreciated it more. They took in more, and some of them went on to be SLU ambassadors, and some of them actually intern formed during the summers.
Nice.
So yes, it is expensive. I'd say that right off the bat, but it is so worth it. Their whole goal is you will be the same person you are 5 years from now, except for the places you go, the people you meet, the books you read, and the things you memorize.
Hmm.
And so they want to. I mean, they put leaders of the country in front of you. I've heard everyone from Martin Luther King's daughter to the number two guy in the Pentagon, the number one guy in the Navy, owners of companies, Chick-fil-A, presidents of colleges. All these people are brought in front of the students.
That's awesome.
And talk to them. So it is, I highly recommend it. I'd love to talk with you if you have any questions. But it is doable. And like I said, my kids have both my son and my daughter, have paid for 101 and 201 together. And because of scheduling conflicts, we haven't been able to go to 301 yet with them. But if they go, they're going to pay for it.
That's cool.
And go from there.
Yeah, if you have any questions, whether you have kids that are students that are old enough to go or you want to go ahead and start planning for it, email Shane Sisk.
You can text
Shane, Shane, Sisk, Sisk, at longhollow.com. And he'll be able to answer all your questions because he is our SLU guy. All right, getting into it. Shane, you talked about how you guys had family dinner for the first time. And we've hinted a lot at rhythms and this idea of like habits of the household. It's a good book. Recommend it. How do you say Justin's full name? Justin?
Whitmell Early.
Whitmell Early. It's a good book. But I know you guys are currently teaching a class on Wednesday nights about this. But with that, Shane, like how, and Kelly, how do you guys navigate rhythms? Because that's something Linda and I talk about, and it's just the two of us. And sometimes it feels like it's hard for us to keep rhythms that we want to have and we want to see happen in our house. So how do you guys handle it with, I guess you both have three kids each, and all of the schedules because you both work along with your spouses. So how do you guys navigate those challenges while still feeling like you are able to disciple your kids well, train them up in the way that they should go? Shane, how have you seen, you know, all the things you've seen now, the end results of sending Carson out, different things like that. So how do you guys navigate all of that with the craziness in your schedules?
I think there's a couple things to it. One is, there is no perfect way. Each family is different when it comes to their schedules and their rhythms and things like that. Two is, you'll probably fail a whole lot more than you'll win. I can speak, you know, from last night we were talking in our class with parents and we were talking about mealtime and we were talking about, Kelly said, give us three words that describe your mealtime. And I said rare, I said frustrating, and fun. And so it is that way because it's rare because we're always going. And so it's rare that we get to do it. It's frustrating because when we try to implement things during that time where we are actually sitting down, it's someone's messing around or someone's spilling something or someone's messing things up. But then fun is because when you do get them focused and they are able to tell their stories about, hey, give me a good, bad, good for this week. There's funny things that they'll tell and funny things that happen to them during the week. And so I think the key is this. The key is not necessarily to do it to perfection. The key is to be intentional and look for opportunities and moments. It's where if you're not going to be at home sitting around the dinner table, well, there's a 20-minute drive to the game or practice that you can implement those very things that you wanted to do at the dinner table. And so I think intentionality and then understanding that there is no perfect way are probably two of the best things that we have to remember in my household. And I have to remind myself of, because there's times, and I shared this last night in our class, where I'm trying to lead the devotional and I'm mad. And I'm leading a devotional out of anger, and that didn't go well, you know? And so you do. You have to be able to step back and go, okay, what is this for? What are we doing? And remind yourself of those things.
Yeah, I think habits have such an influence on us, whether or not we realize it. And I think as parents, we have a huge opportunity to really steward those habits well. And so I would say step back and kind of evaluate the season of life that you're in, what your schedule looks like. And then if you are married, talk to your spouse about, hey, maybe what's one thing that we really want to focus on in this season? Because I remember when the kids were super young, we only had two at the time. Mark was working down in Brentwood, Franklin area, and he was never home for dinner. Right. And so mealtimes as a family just weren't happening in that season. Like the kids were in bed a lot by the time he got home. We're in a season now, praise God, where family dinner is super attainable. So we've been leaning so much into our mealtime rhythms. And we read this book years ago, and it's probably one of the most impactful parenting books that I've personally ever read. So if you haven't read Habits of the Household, I highly recommend it. But we do a lot of the rhythms he talks about. Like, we will sit down at the dinner table, we'll light a candle, we'll talk together. Now, granted, it is chaotic. It's very lively. I mean, it's a battle sometimes to get there with kids, and you know, who knows what they're gonna say, or food might be flying all over the place. But it's been like a really treasured and sweet time where we get to have, I say, somewhat intentional conversations, because again, they're kids and it's gonna go a million directions. But we've used things like the family conversation cards, which is like right. a resource Long Hollow has. And my kids genuinely love talking about it. Like one of the questions the other night was, if Jesus were to come here, what would you do with him? And immediately my daughter's like, well, I'm bringing him to my room and we're going to do some art together. Like, didn't skip a beat. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, my friend was talking about it with her kids, and one of her kids said, I think I would eat fish and bread. And it was just like, okay. But like, it's just so fun to hear the responses of kids. Like,
right.
hey, and it just sparks conversation. And I think a curiosity. I think the other rhythm that we've really implemented is just hospitality.
Hmm.
And that whole idea of like, so much of relationship happens around the dinner table.
Yeah.
And so we set like a goal a while back of just having people over once a week in our house.
Yeah.
And it felt like a really tangible way to love people well. Like Mark and I are really busy. He's extremely introverted. And so we kind of said, hey, if we want to find community and actually have friends, we're going to have to make like an effort here.
Yeah.
And so by just looking at our calendar, and we picked like Sunday nights, and we said, hey, every Sunday night, like, we're just going to open up our home and like invite friends over. And so it's been a really sweet rhythm, to the point where my kids anticipate it and look for it. And now it's like, we've got these built in, Shane would love this, like aunts and uncles that are not actually blood related, because we just have this family rhythm
right.
with these other people.
No, that's good. What has been like, you guys talked about like the help and all that, but what's been like, how have you guys let go of the expectations that you may have for perfection? Because that is very much where I could see my ditch of, man, like I want it to go this way, and this way. And I know obviously you guys aren't the same. We're all different personalities, but like, how do you free yourself from the unsaid expectations that you put on yourself, or maybe even your spouse has put on wanting it? Cause like, you know, I could see that as well, where, I resonate with Mark a lot, where if it's Sunday night, I'm exhausted, and then there's people, I may not say too much. And that's happened before. And Lyndon would be like, what was your problem? I'm like, I don't have a problem. I just don't have any energy. Even if we're in our own home, which is my favorite place to hang out with people,
mm-hmm.
I still am like, this is exhausting. So how do you let go of those expectations, or work, maybe not let go, but work through making them more realistic, or how have you guys navigated that as families?
I remember when I was in my 20s, I became really good friends with some coworkers. He and his wife, he was the executive pastor at my old church, and his wife was also on staff. And we were at their house all the time. And I remember I learned so much through the messiness of their life. And what I mean by that is I would watch them deal with like disciplining their kids or making dinner in a, you know, kind of a messy kitchen. But I didn't really appreciate the value of all the unspoken lessons I was learning until the script was flipped. Sorry.
There you go.
And now that I'm in my 30s with kids and I've got people in my home, I will often like text my friend Amber and be like, thank you so much for just modeling like graciousness and hospitality and just genuine Christ-like love.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I would sit at your kitchen table and I would just talk, or you would listen, and you'd have your kids over here and your husband was over there like grilling in the back. But I think sometimes we have these expectations that discipleship is going to look one certain way. And like Shane said earlier, there is not a picture perfect way to disciple your kids. Every family dynamic is so unique and different.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of freedom when we can let go of expectations and just kind of lean into like the rhythms of grace and say like, what's going to work for us now? Like, how can we model the love of Christ to our kids, to our neighbors, to our family? And I think just when it comes to like having people in your home, even like nobody's home is perfect. Like no kid is perfect. Like, I've yet to sit down with my kids for a family devotional time that has not gone wildly astray.
Right.
And on the flip side, there have been these very unprompted moments that I would say are like so beautiful and so sweet that are totally unexpected. Like, I am not talking about anything spiritual, and one of my kids will look at me and just say, what is grace? And I'm just like, what? We were just yelling about something completely separate. And it's like, hey, why did this happen? And so I think just like being available.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing for parents. Like, be available for those moments and also be faithful and consistent. I think that's the beauty of like a rhythm, is like, it's not always going to go perfect, but what you do over and over will help form who your kids are growing into.
Mm, that's good.
I think one of the best ways, Alec, is, and this was our goal in our prayer for our parent conference, was we wanted parents to walk away with one thing that they could apply. And I think that's the key. I think you can go, you can read a book. You know, I'm continuing to read Justin's book, and I'm like, oh gosh, there's so much.
Right.
And you can go to a conference and hear all these things and walk out defeated. Walk out because you go, there's 4,000 things I have to change to be a good parent, and I'm never going to get there. But I think if you go, what's one thing I'm going to take? What's one thing I'm going to apply and work on? And that's it until I get it, and then I'll move on to another one. I think that's the key, because it's so easy to read a book or to go to a conference or even sit in a class and just go, man, that's so much. I haven't done that, or I'm starting too late, and all these excuses and all these things flood into your mind. But if you can go, all right, what's one thing I can take away from this that I can apply in my family and just start today? I think that's big. I think that's huge, because all of a sudden now you've made it bite-sized instead of overwhelming. And then when you start to get some wins, you'll see how they roll into one another.
Right.
But I would start small. I would go, you know, 'cause here's the deal. The tendency sometimes is to come home and go, all right, we're throwing away our phones and our TVs,
right?
And we're all holding hands around the table,
right?
And then all of a sudden, your kids are like, "This is horrible," and you're like, "Yeah, this kind of stinks." But when you just go, "Hey, we're just gonna," first thing we're gonna do is, man, no phones at the table,
right?
Ever, and then you just start small and just start building.
All right. So last question I have is, you guys are working through habits of the household. You've referenced it. You both kind of referenced it. And so not necessarily as a pitch to go read it, but what's like the biggest thing that you guys have taken away from the book that you've been applying? And then, I mean, that'll be the sell in of itself for parents to go get the book themselves. But what would you guys say is like the biggest thing you've taken away from that book?
I mean, I'll be honest, this book changed my parenting. It's my favorite. So I have implemented so many of the habits. I think one thing for me personally is the whole idea. I think he calls it like scripture before phone. I have just called it in my head word before world. And what I mean by that is the personal discipline of making it a priority to get into the Word of God before I do other things. And I was not always this way, and probably not nearly as like protective of time of the Lord in the morning. Like, I'm a night owl. I actually hate getting up super early. But The older I got and the more kids I had, the more crazy I became. And so if I didn't have like time in the Word of God before starting my day or like early, I could just sense a completely different like way about my attitude and like my spirit. And so that is much more like a personal discipline, but he references this in the book of just, you know, and it starts with us as parents. Like, we cannot pass on something to our children that we are also not living out ourselves. So I think having our identity formed in the image of God is going to be huge. But yeah, I think that's for me.
I think for me, and they're really, Kelly's right, there's so many good things in this book,
right?
Just about regular rhythms of our life. But for me, it was not necessarily something I did, but it has how I thought. And he talks about it, I think it's in chapter 3 or 4. He talks about discipline leads to discipleship. And I don't know that I ever, I've always thought discipline leads to correction of behavior. And then after reading that, I went, wait, I've done discipline wrong for so many years because.
Can you explain what that means?
When you discipline correctly, it should lead to moments of discipleship where we learn, you know, scripture talks, all through scripture, it talks about that, you know, God disciplines those he loves.
Yeah.
And so the act of discipline is not about changing a behavior. It truly is about this relationship that you build. And it's truly about being able to take this moment and teach and correct and point it to worship and point it to the Lord. And so for me, it wasn't necessarily this act that I was doing. Even though I was doing the phone thing, I was doing the same thing that he suggests in scripture before phone. But it was the, all of a sudden it just changed my view. Now, I'm still working on it. I'm not there. I still get mad and frustrated. All of a sudden now I'm looking at discipline as not as I'm going to fix this behavior, but this is a moment that I can help my child grow into who God's designed them to be.
That's good, because that was definitely the excuse my parents used to spank me was, you know, the Lord disciplines those that he loves and da-da-da. And so flipping that on its head of like, hey, this should lead to opportunities of discipleship, that's really, really good. Any other things you guys would throw out as we wrap up this episode?
I think, I shared this a little bit last night. I was talking because we were talking about family devotional time last night in our class, and I just shared. I was like, I remember my dad trying so hard to be consistent with family devotion, and it was horrible. I mean, it was just, we were fighting, we were picking, we weren't listening, and this is what I said to the class is, I don't remember one thing my dad taught us. In that family devotional time, but I remember that family devotional time was important in our family.
That's good.
And so it was this thing of, yeah, I don't know that I walked away with any theological depth from those family devotionals, but I remember us stopping and spending time in God's Word was important.
Yeah.
And that is something that I got away with. You know, I walked away with it now many, many years later.
That's good.
Yeah, I would just say like the small things can have a big impact. So if you don't believe the lie that it's too late to start something new with your family, or that you don't, like, you're not enough to do it, or you haven't been a Christian long enough, like, those are all lies. I think just step back and pick one thing, like Shane said. Like, what is one thing you can start doing? And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, go and do it. Like, you've got this.
Oh, that's good. And if you've been listening and you're like, all right, I got to go find this book, it's on Amazon, but you could also go to longhollow.com/parent. And Habits of the Household is on every page because they're broken up by phases of life. And so you can go to the resource page and find that book there. It'll take you to Amazon. There's also all the other books that we have on there and other resources. And if you're listening and you're like, hey, I've really enjoyed this, I wish you would talk about this. We want to hear that. So please just text parent, P-A-R-E-N-T, to 98173. And you'll get a link to a form that you'll be able to send in your questions, because we want to hear what you want to talk want us to talk about. And so with that, Shane, Kelly, thanks so much. And we'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.